Well, it's Christmas time again. The year has gone by so fast, hasn't it? We understand that Christmas is a truly blessed time of year, isn't it? Especially for us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, who are Christians today, Christmas is truly a blessed time. Aside from all the commercial and traditional things that crowd into the season, the true meaning of Christmas still shines brightly amongst those who have trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Some of the traditions that we have at Christmas are nice, but will never overreach the birth of Jesus Christ. You know the little phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season. It's exactly right. It's Christmas. Not about Santa Claus or any of those other things, but it's Jesus Christ and his birth. And to him we lift our sacrifice of praise, as it says in Hebrews 13:15, our sacrifice of praise continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And certainly at Christmas we are focused in on that. And so we say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came into this world. Now, do you recall the meaning of the word Christmas? What does Christmas mean? The word Christmas means Christ sent, right? Christ sent is, I have a document that follows the etymology of the word Christmas, and even that last part, mas, and means, I think it came through the old Gaelic language, and means to be sent. So Christmas means Christ sent. And there is no other meaning to that word that we hear about in the world around us today that even reflects that great truth. That truth is reflected in basically two New Testament verses. John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And the other reference is 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, which says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Christ was sent into this world to be our Savior. Now, just for a few moments, I would have you think through four key statements in the New Testament that are related to the Christmas story. We've read the major passages of the Christmas story in Luke 1, Matthew 1, and then Luke 2. And out of them, I would have you to see some important truths concerning the Lord Jesus. And if you want to, these would be good verses to memorize along the way. Number one thing that we note here in the Christmas story, in the passages, is his name shall be called Jesus, right? Both Gabriel, both to Mary and to Joseph, said that the baby that would be born to Mary, a son, they were to give the name Jesus. In that wonderful passage, recording the visit of Gabriel to a virgin in Nazareth named Mary, Gabriel said to Mary, among other things, in Luke 1:31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. So right even before the conception, the name was already given. And the angel Gabriel told Mary that the son that she would deliver, she was to call his name Jesus. Gabriel was also sent to Mary's espoused husband Joseph with this announcement, recorded in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. But while he, Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So to both Mary and Joseph, the angel Gabriel announced the coming of a son, the birth of a son, and to them both he said, you will give him the name Jesus. Jesus is a very significant and important name. It is the English translation of the Greek word Jesus, and it means, anybody remember? Jehovah is salvation. Jesus, translated Jesus, means Jehovah is salvation. And interestingly enough, it is the equivalent of the Hebrew Jehoshua, which is translated into English as Joshua, right? Joshua in the Old Testament. And it too means Jehovah is salvation. It's important to know what the meaning of the name is, don't you think? So that when you're talking to people about the Lord Jesus or even about Christmas and the coming of the Lord Jesus, and his name had been given to Mary and Joseph to call the boy that would be born, and to know what it means is so very important that we can pass on to others around us. And certainly this is what Jesus came to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save his people from their sins, and not just his people in Israel, but all of us. He died on the cross for all men, but only those who will believe in him will benefit from his work on the cross, both Jew and Gentile. And so we reverence the name of Jesus, right? We always and must always hold it up in high regard. We must never take his name in vain. The Old Testament in the law said that we should not take the name of the Lord in vain, because God will not hold them guiltless who take his name in vain. And that includes the name of the Lord Jesus. We must never take his name in vain, whether as profanity or even to use his name without any kind of thought, just, you know, people use the name Jesus just off the hat. And in some charismatic circles, you know, they'll try to get into their altered state of consciousness by simply repeating the name Jesus. I'd submit to you that's taking his name in vain, because they really aren't thinking through about who he is. It's just a word to repeat. And we must never do that. His name is called Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. That's one. Secondly, note, not only will his name be called Jesus, but he shall also be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel. In Matthew 1:23. This is Gabriel's message to Joseph. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is... anybody? God with us. It was the prophet Isaiah who gave this prophecy about 600 years before it became fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. Emmanuel would be a name by which Jesus would be known. It's not like having a second name or something like that. It is a name that best defines his person, his being. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the Hebrew text, the syntax is a slightly different order. And literally out of the Hebrew text in Isaiah 7:14, it says, with us is God. That's pretty emphatic, it seems to me. With us is God. Of course, the L on the end of Emmanuel is a reference to the Hebrew word Elohim, which is translated God in English. So this name, Emmanuel speaks of Jesus' deity. He is God, and he is with us, Isaiah would say. Think about it. He's with us, created human beings. The uncreated, eternal God became part of his own creation. Now, that'll give you a headache if you try and understand and comprehend that statement. We may not fully grasp all that was involved in God becoming a man, but we believe it because it's recorded for us in the scriptures, and we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. He came to dwell amongst his own people. This is marvelous and miraculous. And we dare not lose the wonder of God becoming a man to live amongst us. Now, the name Emmanuel in Matthew 1:23 is directly tied with the phrase, "A virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son." The virgin-born son would be called Emmanuel, or God with us. And so the special conception and birth of the Lord Jesus is that which informs us of what Emmanuel is all about. And that leads us to the third verse. The third thing is, the Word was made flesh. Right? The Word was made flesh. We go to John chapter 1 for this. While John doesn't directly speak of the birth of the Lord Jesus in Bethlehem, he does give us the essence of what the birth in Bethlehem was all about. John, and I'll give you three verses. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Literally in the Greek text, we have that last phrase, "God was the Word," which contradicts anything that Jehovah's Witnesses would tell us, that it's not a God, but it is God himself that has become, or that was the Word. Down to verse 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then the third one is John 1:17, in which we find out that this Word that was God, that became flesh, is none other than, listen to it, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Right? So the Word made flesh is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an important truth from the scriptures also that we must hold close to our hearts, minds, and our souls. Without this bit of truth, then people can just think of the Lord Jesus as an ordinary man. Anything really special about him. But when we put John chapter 1 together, then we understand that this is most important for our understanding of who Christ is. The Word, which was God, and we understand that would have been the second person of the Trinity, was made flesh. He was made a real and true man, a human being. It's not that he just looked like a human being, but that he really became a human person, spirit, soul, and body. Right? Now, how in the world did that happen? Well, that's what part of what the angel said to Mary in Luke 1:34. She asked that very question, how is this going to happen? Because I have never known a man, never been intimate with a man, hadn't been intimate with Joseph yet. They were espoused, but they hadn't consummated the marriage quite yet. In Luke 1:34, Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And Gabriel answered her in the next verse, verse 35, and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Once again, we just note the simplicity of the scriptures as it describes how this conception in the Virgin Mary of the Lord Jesus would take place. It is the power of the highest that shall overshadow thee. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. This is so unlike any of the Greek mythology gods, where the gods came down, had sex with human women, and their offspring were these gods of the earth. And there's nothing like this in the scriptures. I have heard different people in the world saying that God came down, had sex with Mary, and that Jesus was the result of that act. Or some have even stated that God raped Mary in some way, and she became pregnant. That's not what the scriptures tell us. Very simply, the power of the highest, the Holy Ghost, planted that seed in Mary's womb that would become the Son of God. Jesus Christ was both fully God and fully man in one person. This is the real essence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must not demean or diminish this truth. We must stand up for it always as believers in Christ. We must earnestly contend for this portion of the faith. This is what Christmas is all about, isn't it? God being made flesh, God with us, God, the Lord Jesus being divinely conceived of the Spirit of God in the womb of Mary. And the last one, very briefly, that we need to know is that what was born to Mary was a Savior, Christ the Lord. This is the fourth important passage and verse concerning Christmas. A Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And for that, we go to Luke chapter 2, verse 11. You should have that one memorized, I think, already. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I love this verse from the angelic host, or from the angel to the shepherds. It's what a message it is that the angel gave to those men sitting out on the hillside looking after their sheep. Three important titles of the Lord Jesus Christ are given here in this one verse. He is called Savior, he is called Christ, and he is called Lord. Those three titles belong to the Lord Jesus as announced by the angel to the shepherds. The Savior, because he's called Savior because he came to save his people from their sins. And he has saved us from our sins if we have trusted him as our Savior. He is Christ. Christ means the anointed one. It's the same word that we find in the Hebrew text translated Messiah. Here is the anointed one to come, fulfill God's will and God's plan and purpose for this creation. And he is anointed of God to do all of that, to die on the cross for our sins, rise from the dead, ascend into heaven, waiting for the return back down to this earth, where he will assume the throne of David in the millennial kingdom. He is the Christ. And that is a very important term throughout all of Scripture. And then thirdly, he's called Lord. Lord means ruler, owner. He is master. And if you know him as your personal Savior, he is also your Lord. And we are bound to obey him and to let him rule in our lives. He is our master. We need to follow his instructions to us. So these are the things that Jesus is. He is Savior, he is Christ, and he is Lord. Don't forget those things. They are so important to understanding who he is. Recall that Jesus is no longer a babe in a manger, but now he is Savior and Lord over all. He is Christ sent from the Father to reconcile the world unto God and to bring us peace with God and to rescue us from condemnation. Right? There's no more condemnation to those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. So, this Christmas, let us be mindful of the real reason for this season. It is the celebration of the coming of the Word, God the Son, into this world, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come. He is spirit conceived, virgin born. Jehovah is salvation, is the name by which he was, the name in which he was given. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Word that has now become flesh. He is Savior, he is Christ, and he is Lord. All of these words together give us the perfect and full picture of the babe born in Bethlehem. Not like any other human being on earth. Absolutely sinless, holy, and deity come in the flesh. And more than that, he grew, he ministered, he gave his life for our sins, he rose from the dead on the third day, he ascended back into heaven 40 days later to wait for the day that he will return to rescue his people Israel and to establish the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. So let us keep Christ in Christmas. Let us praise and thank the Lord for his most gracious gift to us. And let us be sure that we believe in, trust, and have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior.